following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Driving to the grocery store. Sure, Goodyear tires can face it. Get some milk, maybe some carrots, and then drive back home.
But Goodyear's also the official tire of NASCAR. And everything we learn making tires for expert drivers inspires what we roll into yours. You don't just want milk and carrot tires, do you? Go to Goodyear.com and find out how to get up to a $160 rebate. Goodyear, more driven. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Incorporated.
Hey, Flo.
Yeah?
Now, let's wrap up this leaf blowing, and then we can finish pruning the shrubs up front.
Already done. Hey, one question.
Yep.
Just hypothetically, if the shrubs were pruned to look like cartoon animals, that would be a good thing, right? Hypothetically?
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday edition. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter in as the co-host today, and we'll be talking on our 12 teams in 12 days with the voice of the Illinois Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart. We're also going to be talking with Russ Kindig. He is Hastings Johnson Imperial coach as their American Legion team gets ready for area tournament action going on this weekend. We'll take a look at what's going on in the world of the Lopers, Loper Link, which starts with the Final Four for the athletic director, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was last night, and the American League beats the National League, so the Royals beat the Reds.
That's my second favorite team, so I can kind of live with that. But not a lot going on offensively for the National League. I mean, holy cow, there just wasn't anything going on. It was a relatively quick game, relatively quiet game offensively. And I know you have some thoughts about the MVP. I'm not sure that there was anybody that you stand out there and you look and go, wow, what a great game that person had. There wasn't that guy that had the three-run double that drove in anybody.
Well, you're always looking for offense, and that wasn't there. So you're looking for defense, you're looking for pitching. And the thing with the pitching is nobody gets to be in the game long enough to do anything. Matt Harvey, outside of giving up that first double on the first pitch of the ball game, he went two innings, got the strikeouts. Joe Nathan got a couple strikeouts in the ninth, got the save, although he did run into just a little bit of trouble, and Alex Gordon nearly took him in the top of the ninth. Alex Gordon nearly went yard. That would have been cool.
He just belted
that. Yeah. I think he knew he got it, too, and he just wasn't sure if it was going to make it basically anywhere else in the ballpark. It's gone. He was about, 5 feet short. He hit about 403, needed 408 to get it out.
And probably if it was earlier in the game, with a little bit more heat, a little bit more lift where they have there, in the first couple of innings, that probably the exact same strike, exact same place, is probably a home run.
888-455-ESPN. That is our Bruce Furniture fan line. Always love to hear from you, your thoughts. All the Royals got into the game last night, and we can talk Major League Baseball. We can talk British Open. We can talk whatever it is you want to talk on the national, state, or local scene. You can also fire off your emails to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Facebook is at ESPN Superstation. Tweet us at ESPN 1460-1550. Okay, let's finish up the All-Star talk. Then Johnny Manziel is getting way. This is what ESPN is doing today is despicable on television with this whole SEC thing. Yay, you got a hold of him. Yay, Johnny Manziel's there and you got the live interview. Leave the kid alone. All right? That's my thoughts on that. We'll get back to that in a moment. But back to the MVP. The whole Mariano Rivera thing was that's all they made the All-Star game out to be last night. Now, I want to separate from my Yankee hatred to my respect for the greatest save, greatest relief pitcher in the history of baseball. I recognize that, and Rivera is the greatest relief pitcher in the history of baseball. Plus, he's had, over his career, the opportunity to be the greatest save pitcher in baseball because of the Yankees' success. But everything was cool before the game. If they want to talk about it all night long, they bring him in the eighth. That's cool, all that. The ovation was great. The players don't go out on the field. He's just out there on the pitching mound all by himself.
That was neat.
Yeah, that was the whole thing was neat. He wasn't the MVP. He didn't strike anybody out, and he got out two Milwaukee Brewers. He wasn't the MVP. He was not the MVP.
Okay, I can live with that.
He's the second relief pitcher in the history of the game to be named the MVP. It was a stretch, and shame on the sports writers in New York for voting him the MVP.
I would disagree. Shame on them, because there wasn't a real strong candidate. We didn't have Fred Lynn out there hitting three home runs either. You did not have a real strong resume that you look at their resume and say, wow, they were so much better than it. He got Mr. Congeniality, okay? That's what that award was, and I'm okay with it because nobody really got robbed because they drove in three runs, had a game-winning catch over the fence that steals a home run from somebody. There was not that moment that you tend to have with an MVP of an All-Star game where somebody has that moment where they make that play. I mean, a ground out to drive in a run, a sacrifice fly for the run, a single for a run. I mean, those are your three RBIs. There just is not a lot. There just wasn't a lot of drama out there that you say that's the stronger resume than what he has. And again, you certainly can pick somebody that had a better statistical night, even pitching. Yes, you can. But it is a nice parting gift. It is Mr. Congeniality. That
Miguel
was the
Cabrera.
Award to
That's who I would have voted for. Miguel Cabrera doubled, was 1-for-3 in the game, but made quite a few plays at third base, and they weren't all easy. That's who I'm going for. Plus, he is the best player in baseball right now offensively.
Well, and you know what? I'm not going to argue that he isn't the best player in baseball. And I'm also not going to say that maybe statistically last night it was a little bit better. I'm just saying even Miguel Cabrera is going to understand that this is a nice parting gift because the resume of the night by Rivera is not a whole lot worse than what his night was. He was 1-for-3 with one double. There's, what, three other guys that led off an inning with a double as well? You know, so, I mean, Cabrera was not – there's no head and shoulders that's so much better. There just wasn't.
Well, and that
– if you're going to do it, everything came together for Rivera. Everything came together for him to get that.
That's what I'm saying. You got 35 times 2. You got about 60 guys that played in the game that were – 50 of them were average.
Yeah.
And Rivera was one of them.
I agree. Well, I would say 58 of them or 59 of them were average. I mean, Cabrera probably had the best resume. You picked the best example out there, but there just wasn't that guy that
Prince
again,
Fielder
if you get,
hustling for the triple.
Oh,
come
my
on,
God.
Man.
Oh, my God. That registered in the seismograph, too, when he was running around out there. One other thing about the All-Star game. And I always want to throw something at my radio or my TV when people sit there and they criticize the fact that the home field advantage for the World Series is determined by this.
Sure.
Because, really, does it really matter? I think over the course of the next 100 games, National League is going to win 50. The American League is going to win 50. That's the same thing of Even-numbered years, the American League got it. Odd-numbered years, the National League got the home field advantage. I mean, before it was decided by what year it was, it wasn't decided by anything on the field. Is that better? That's better? How is that better?
There's no rhyme or reason. Yeah, there's nothing.
The home field determined by the All-Star game, that's silly. Well, coin flip was deciding it before. I mean, it was even odd. That's what decided it before. That's better. At least somebody on your team has the opportunity to go out there, hit a home run, make a play, and win the home field advantage for your league, your team. At least in theory, that can happen.
The Midtown Mart Cooler question yesterday was, does participating in the home run derby harm a player's production for the second half? 69% said no. The other 31% said yes. What do you think?
I don't think it has. It's one day. It's batting practice.
Yeah. You can try. That's what I said. I don't think it makes that big a difference. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question of today, the British Open tees off while you're getting up tomorrow morning for most of you. Which golfer has the best chance to win their first major this weekend at the British Open? Luke Donald, Matt Kuchar, Brant Snedeker, Steve Stricker. Luke Donald, Matt Kuchar, Brant Snedeker, Steve Stricker, they're all ranked in the top 10 in the world. And no one has ever had their best finish ever at the British Open. Brant Snedeker tied for third in the Open. But everybody else, they kind of pretty good at the Masters. Steve Stricker was second way back in 98 at the PGA. I don't know.
I don't have a strong opinion on that.
I don't know. I don't know which one here. Luke Donald, is it his time? The course doesn't set up. I love Cooch. The course, this is not his deal. Matt Kuchar. So he's out. Stricker, is he just too old? I don't think you can use that anymore. He's very experienced with that. Brant Snedeker will plug away. I'll go Luke Donald just because he is the foreigner of this group. So I'll go Luke Donald. You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com, where not only can you vote on the Midtown Mark Cooler question, you can see the local and state sports for the day every day, updated as it breaks. You can also like us on Facebook, and of course you can listen to any Doug and Daddy show, or coming up right around the corner, high school sports event, live or via podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. 1 week from today, in Chicago, we'll be already jumping into the middle of Big Ten football. Mike Will and I will be there with a wall-to-wall show next Wednesday and Thursday, and of course bringing back interviews for the following days. Fan Day coming up in Lincoln on August the 2nd. First practice is August the 3rd. First game is August the 31st, so it's right around the corner. But Randy, your thoughts on what has been going on. I commented briefly there on the Johnny Manziel thing, and kudos to him. Because anything that I've been around, even though he won the Heisman, if he was at Nebraska or in the Big 12 days or even in the Big 10 days, you pretty much got to be a senior, maybe a junior, to go to media days. And the sophomore, Johnny Manziel, Heisman Trophy winner, A&M, they ponied up and brought him. They didn't have to, I don't think.
No. You can pick whoever you want in there. I mean, to me, it'd be conspicuous by his absence if the Heisman Trophy winner wasn't there. And I thought it was a good move considering, you know, what happened at the Manning camp and all that other stuff, the discussions about whether or not he's too much of a college kid. I mean, isn't that what we're saying here? He acts too much like a college kid. This kid in college is acting too much like a college kid. And just the attention that's kind of thrown his way is pretty strong. Now, that being said, I mean, people react to this a little bit differently. I don't think a Tim Tebow would have been in that situation. He wouldn't have gone this way. But let the kid have a little bit of fun, blow off a little bit of steam, and then let him learn. There's going to be a few mistakes he's going to make along the way. He's the first freshman to ever win the Heisman Trophy. He's probably in uncharted waters, wouldn't we all agree? I mean, and again, he's what, 20, 21?
20. He's not 21. And see, everybody wanted him to say today, yeah, I was hungover at Peyton Manning's camp. We went out the night before. That he'd be admitted to a crime is what he'd be doing,
right, morons.
That's, you thought he's going to say that? 1,200 credentialed people at the SEC media days? You thought, Johnny, yeah, man, Peyton and Eli, well, man, they vodka'd me up. And, man, I just didn't. Really? Seriously, though, think about that. Think about it. That story could have taken on a monster all of its own if, even if it's true, if he admitted to it, where would people be going? You'd have every group of that's against alcohol in arms. You'd have, I'm serious, somebody be looking at arresting the kid and who procured for him. There's no doubt about it. He's 20 and he had a hangover. Just like every other college kid has had. But, you know, hey.
And again, we're not condoning those kinds of actions.
No, I'm
Danielle,
just
Danielle, if you're listening at home. But how much
really,
different would it
there.
Be?
just for fun.
Do we really want to have, because if you're going to put that kind of scrutiny to him, I wouldn't want that kind of scrutiny when I was that age.
Well,
you know, in terms of being
your
followed
child,
around.
Anybody you know, anybody that's at your institution. Now, should he, and from what I'm seeing, he's doing a lot of those little minor things. And, you know, whatever. If it's a character issue for the NFL, fine. That's a different story as well. I don't need to be hearing about it all morning. And so that's why I'm putting my end to it right here.
Well, it's a quiet day. It is the quietest of days when it comes to the world of sports. The day after the All-Star game, there's no game scheduled. There's nothing else going on. So, you know, I think the SEC, by the way, brilliant. Having media day on the quietest day of the year. I mean, absolutely. And they probably scheduled when Texas A&M was going to be there well before any of this stuff happened that become the questions that Johnny Manziel has to answer. But so they're brilliant in terms of when they're doing that to grab a little bit of time.
Hey, folks, don't forget when you are the proper age, you can have an ice-cold alcoholic beverage. And even if you're not the proper age, you can have the very coldest beverage that you like, maybe a Coke, Dr. Pepper, a little water, lemonade, iced tea, and your great favorite meal at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island, where they have daily lunch specials. And on Wednesday, it is the turkey BLT on ciabatta bun. And, of course, on Wednesday nights, it's Big Burger Night for $5. Get any burger you want off the menu with fries from 5 to 10 on Wednesday night. Happy hour from 2 to 5:30 every Monday through Friday. And there's not a bad seat in the house to sit back in the air conditioning, watch your favorite sporting events. And again, with the British Open on in the morning with coverage, you can sit back for lunch, watch a little bit of that, catch your favorite baseball, whatever else happens to be on. If it's on, it's on at the Chicken Coop. If you don't see it, just ask them. The friendly staff will put it up there for you. Don't forget, during these warm days, just thinking of something maybe a little light for lunch, how about getting into the Chicken Coop for one of their wraps, the Tangy Southwest Chicken Wrap or the Melt in Your Mouth Southwest Steak Wrap. All there for you at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Russ Kindig, Hastings Johnson Imperial Legion baseball coach, will join us as well. Keep it here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Lose 30 pounds in only 3 weeks? Really? If you're frustrated with outrageous weight loss promises, Complete Nutrition is about to change that. Try Refirm, the first ever and only weight loss product on the market that actually shrinks fat cells.
This is Dr. Lisa Stout. I'm excited to tell you about the breakthrough weight loss product from Complete Nutrition called Refirm. Refirm does something you've never experienced. It actually shrinks fat cells, and that means losing weight and fitting into your clothes faster.
Refirm revs up energy and metabolism, but also shrinks fat cells. Hurry into your neighborhood Complete Nutrition store while supplies last. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, visit your Complete Nutrition store to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. I've got some important economic news. The economy is slowly improving, and we saw evidence of this on May 22nd in a speech from Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. When the economy improves, prices tend to rise. And when prices rise, mortgage interest rates usually follow. So if you've considered refinancing your home, you'd better act fast, even if you're underwater. If your current mortgage is higher than 4.75%, or if you owe more on your home than it's worth, call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN. Quicken Loans has helped hundreds of thousands of underwater homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP, the government's home affordable refinance program. But there are millions more of you out there who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. Are you one of them? Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 4.75%, or if you owe more on your home than it's worth, call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. We're engineered to amaze.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number. Sunny to partly cloudy conditions continue throughout the day today as we head up to around 90 for a high. South winds will also turn breezy at 12 to 25. For tonight, with clear skies, south winds continue at 5 to 15 as we head back to 66.
Right now it's 79.
She played tambourine with a silver jingle, and she must have known the words to at least a million. But the one most requested by the man she knew as Cowboy.
Adams County Fair Fest tonight, the legends. That's right, baby. The Oak Ridge Boys will be there tonight. Love the boys. Love the Oak Ridge Boys. Check it out, folks. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us for today's program. Let's take a look at our Loper Link brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons they have the loans. See Russ Smith today. Former UNK corner Arthur Hobbs, now playing for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, played in their last Canadian Football League regular season game as they beat Winnipeg 25-20. Hobbs got into the game and had played very well, three tackles in the contest, and they will be back in action this Sunday night in Saskatchewan. So that's going on with the Lopers. But then the big story, obviously, we've got the Final Four at UNK. And Randy, just your initial thoughts on the Final Four. I don't think it's fair to I didn't say it yesterday, and I just don't know enough. You just got the little bio that you read about.
Right, yeah.
And just by that little bio, I kind of think what I would pick is one and two and maybe three and four out of the four. But you don't know enough about the people. But just your initial thoughts on that list of four.
Well, a unique, different paths to get there into
don't
the Final
give me
Four.
The politically correct.
No, no, no. I mean, there's a lot of diversity there in terms of how they got there. Some have been Division One, you know, and some in Division Three, and one was an athletic director just recently in Division Two. I mean, so you can't have too many different paths to get there than just kind of looking at it that way. To me, what I've always kind of thought is one of the key elements is fundraising, and there was one that kind of stood out there in terms of that being the major element of what they did with their job, because I always look at it as the thing that UNK has been lacking more than anything else is the ability to raise those big dollars to get those scholarships for the programs that we kind of want to have. But obviously there's more to the job than just that, and you can probably hire that done. So to me, it's going to be interesting what their priority is. I think whatever they're really kind of looking for as an athletic director, what are their priorities, I think that would give one of those four candidates a real inside track. If it is what I just said, and that is the major thing is fundraising, if to the committee that is the number one thing, I think there's one candidate out there that might be a little bit stronger. If you're looking at, you know, some other elements, you know, past experience, there's only one that's been an athletic director at a Division II school. That would give them kind of an inside track as well. So it to me, it depends on what they kind of see as their priorities. So
what do you think is the most important factor?
Well, like I said, to me, the major thing I think is the fundraising, is the raising of money. And you say that when you don't have a problem with discipline. You know, if you had that across the campus, if something came up there, I'd just be headed to Denny Matthews with my hand here. If you did that, then that would become the bigger priority. So, but with the history of UNK, to me, the major thing is finding a way to raise the money necessary to properly fund all the programs.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. They will make a hire by the fall athletic season. You know what? It seems to me every time that there's a job opening and they get it down to the finalists, it doesn't take that long. And here's what I hope. Yes, you can come out and tell me that we wanted to make sure we got the right one. Get somebody hired.
Well, you got to do it right, though. I mean, this doesn't happen very often, so you got to make sure you get the right person. And it won't take, you're right, it won't take very long. They'll come in, there'll be a series of interviews, they'll get to know them, and I would bet early on in August, they'll have it all sorted out. Maybe even by the end of the month. I think 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I think it'll probably be taken care of.
Definitely. We'll be bringing you that press conference when it occurs, when a new athletic director is named. I do find it interesting, and I guess there's UNK, one of the four finalists, is somebody that just got let go of their job. And the reason stated was because they couldn't raise funds appropriately. Are you surprised that someone like that is on the list? Again, not knowing the person at all.
Based on what I said before, yes. But there's always more to it than that. What is also interesting of his resume is he also was a Division I athletic director, in a sense, because Bemidji plays hockey, men's and women's hockey, Division I, was the first full-time athletic director in the school's history, and had that job for a period of time building that up. So, I mean, there's some building that is in there as well. And it could be kind of to the point where their expectations were not reasonable. Maybe Bemidji, in terms of money that they're able to raise for, and let's use hockey as an example, which is probably their big revenue sport, hockey, up in Minnesota. You're going against defending, you know, somebody that won a national championship not too long ago in Minnesota Duluth. You got, you know, the Gophers in there. Those are the ones that you're kind of competing with. Now, again, Nebraska is casting a long shadow at UNK, but probably UNK, now that UNO has moved to Division I, is probably arguably the at least in central Nebraska anyway, that key element within that area in terms of fundraising. So it could very well be that he just kind of plateaued and that's as far as they could go because he'd been there so long. And maybe a fresh start would get a new direction. But I agree with what you said, and I kind of even mentioned that yesterday, that seemed interesting, but I don't have all the facts.
And one of the other things on there is that he is a former wrestling coach, which is interesting. As I said yesterday, that didn't seem to make a difference with the man in charge in Omaha, not Trev Alberts, but the president, who is big into wrestling as well. So you never know. We've got a couple of emails here from Mark. He says, was there no one available with local flavor that applied or alumni? Obviously, we don't know that. I know that there were local people or alumni or however you want to say, UNK ties, I guess, would be the best way to say that. I know for a fact that there were people with UNK ties that applied for this job, but did not make the Final Four.
And I mentioned this with a friend of mine that I ran into yesterday and kind of said, well, they must have those top four, those Final Four must be pretty good candidates for some of those local candidates not to be on that list. And that, to me, is a sign of the quality of these applicants. I really think that they're probably pretty good applicants.
Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox here as we were talking about Johnny Manziel and maybe being too young to drink and being just a sophomore. Randy, can you even remember when you were that age? And that didn't come from me!
Oh.
That did not come from me!
Well, there's a stone tablet somewhere. There's a cave painting that depicts some of the things I did in college, and yeah.
That's how they did birth certificates back then?
Yeah, my birth certificate is an antique.
Yes. That is our Loper link for today. Call Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. A couple of other sports notes, all kinds of things coming down from Nebraska today. A couple things on football that we'll talk with Brian Barnhart of the Fighting Illini here in just a minute. But the Detroit Lions announced they have entered into a six-year partnership with the Big Ten Conference for a bowl game. The inaugural game is tentatively scheduled for December 30th, 2014, once they work that out with TV. The Big Ten has sent a representative to Detroit for a bowl game three times at the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl, but this will be different. Houston also hosts a college football bowl game. Taylor Martinez is one of the 34 players on the Davey O'Brien National Quarterback Award watch list. He's been on the watch list before. Three members of the Big Ten are on there. Braxton Miller from Ohio State and Dennard from Michigan, and Martinez now from Nebraska. Here's the story. If I said, what sport does Trevor Menke play at Nebraska, would you know?
No. And I'm related to Menke's. I don't know if I'm related to that one, but
University of Nebraska basketball player Trevor Menke was named to the National Association of Basketball Coaches Honor Court, given to players who are juniors or seniors in academic standing. One of the Huskers' top backup guards last season appeared in 15 games.
I clearly need to watch more Nebraska basketball.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
I think the program's heading in the right direction, but did I recognize his name? No, I did not.
And Nebraska will take on a first-time foe to open the Charleston Classic as a pairing for the 18 field was unveiled today. The Huskers will take on the University of Massachusetts as one of their basketball matchups. And then in the semis or the consolation, Alabama-Birmingham or New Mexico would be the second-round game. The other side is Clemson, Davidson, Georgia, and Temple. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk some football with the voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart of Illinois, when we come back.
You ever just want to escape ordinary? You know what I'm talking about, with the wife always on your tail, the kids running around like a bunch of wild turkeys, the same old routine day in and day out. When you're ready to escape ordinary, just head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's the best place to hang out with your buds, have a great bite to eat, and an ice cold beer while you watch all your favorite sports. When it's time to escape ordinary, head over to Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Guys, at Sport Clips Haircuts, we appreciate everything you do. So this month, we're giving you double the Sport Clips MVP experience for the price of a single. It's the Sport Clips Instant Replay. After your haircut, go into overtime on our legendary hot towel treatment. Enjoy a double header of our massaging shampoo and soothing scalp treatment. And beat the heat with our new MVP on ice. Our legendary hot towel becomes the refreshing chilled towel at no extra charge. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy.
The best things in life come in twos.
Is that how the saying goes?
Well, it's true for StubHub. In celebration of summer, StubHub's offering double rewards for summer's hottest concerts and select MLB games through August 5th.
That means if you usually score 2% back, you now get 4%. Or if you're a superstar member, you get 3% rewards, now double to 6% on every eligible ticket.
Clearly, you smashed third grade math.
Mad skills right there.
So get to StubHub today. Sign up for fan rewards if you haven't already and double your rewards through August the 5th.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy conditions continue throughout the day today as we head up to around 90 for a high. South winds will also turn breezy at 12 to 25. For tonight, with clear skies, south winds continue at 5 to 15 as we head back to 66.
Right now, it's 79.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday edition. Coming up in moments, we're going to talk Illinois football, but farmers, right now is the time to beat the heat with the best value purchase of a T&L pivot system. You can maximize your production in the dry conditions of summer with the best water distribution covering your crops and the best reliability for the long haul of any extended heat wave. Call T&L or your local T&L dealer today. You can see them online as well at TLIRR.com. Get T&L's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easy on you for a lifetime at T&L Irrigation. Our 12 teams in 12 days. Randy, it takes us to a team that not a lot of people are very high on this year, and that always makes it difficult when you look for positives instead of negatives going into the season. But to tell us why the Fighting Illini are going to be better this year, the voice of Illinois football, Brian Barnhart, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brian, thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, no problem. Great to be on.
Well, we talked about this couple of weeks ago when we got ready for 12 teams in 12 days and being in Chicago next week, is that your job may have been one of the toughest here lately, the collapse there in 2011, and obviously with Tim Beckman coming in and nothing really went their way. Now, when I say nothing went their way, are there things going Illinois' way? Why should we have some optimism? Why should Illini fans have optimism for 2013?
Well, a couple of things. I think, one thing is, and this is more for next year, I think, than anything, is the transfer of Wes Lunt, an Illinois kid from Springfield, the Springfield area, that was out of Oklahoma State and came back to the state of Illinois and chose Illinois over Louisville. And I think he's going to fit in really nice in the offensive system. I think it is the fact that he's here and will be here in the future and have, I think, 3 years is I think enticing to some really top receivers around the country who might not have taken a look at Illinois before. So I think that's something to kind of hold on to in the midst of all the transition, the storm of a transition, to look forward to that. I think having Bill Cubitt as the offensive coordinator, he comes in after being the Western Michigan head coach the last several years. And I know you guys do follow college football. Western Michigan's had some of the top offenses in the country. They have a very much forward, short, passing, attack, attacking mode offense that I think in the spring game, was just a vast improvement from what they had last year. You had the sense at the end of last year with two different offensive coordinators, two co-coordinators, that they were kind of doing a grab bag. They were just trying this and trying that, and nothing seemed to work, and the numbers kind of reflected that, and they had some trouble up front with the offensive line. And so I think Bill Cubitt's system will be good. I thought in the spring it looked like they knew what they wanted to do. They knew how they wanted to attack. And for Nathan Schielhaus, he's back. Donovan Young is back. Josh Ferguson is back. Langford is back at receiver. They've got some junior college kids coming in on defense that I think are going to help. That was a route Tim Beckman had to go to get some immediate help. And he got some of the better junior college players in the country, which is not something Illinois has relied on in the last several years. So there's some bright spots for you there. Now, all of that, they're doing well in the classroom. I know Tim Beckman's happy with his recruiting classes, the kids he's brought in. I think it's in the upper, the top six in the Big Ten, so at the midpoint there. But obviously they got to win some games, and they just have to show improvement. They have to look better. And what I call, guys, the eye test. They've got to look better. They did not, and he will admit this, Tim Beckman, well, they didn't look very good last year, and they got blown out of a lot of games.
Talk a little bit more about Nathan Schielhaus. You know, he started as a redshirt freshman, got injured, kind of slowed down his progression. Is he kind of where they hope him to be? Is he kind of the answer, or is the quarterback position up for grabs?
Well, I think right now, if we started today, he would be the quarterback just by the sheer number of games he's played and the experiences he's been in. He started his first game as a redshirt freshman against Missouri in the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, and so he's been starting pretty much ever since, barring injury. So I think you'd have to give it to him right now, although I think they've got a young man from up in northern Illinois who's coming in who's supposed to be a really good quarterback. But if Nathan were to win the job outright, I think they might look at him at another position. He's talented enough to do that. And obviously you've got Lunt waiting in the wings for next year. But the thing with Nathan is, A, he's a great kid, but B, he's had four different offensive coordinators in the last 5 years. And I think he will fit this Bill Cubitt system really well. It's kind of the offense he came in at 5 years ago. More familiar with that, I think, at the time. And I think he'll fit in real well.
We're talking with Brian Barnhart. He's the voice of the Fighting Illini, Illinois football, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug, due to Randy Bushcutter on this Wednesday. There is, as you said, there's some guys coming back here. Is this a team that, if Nate can get back to where he was a couple of years ago, that hangs its hat on offense, or are they going to be looking more at defense with a young man in Jonathan Brown that's just an absolute beast?
Yeah, Jonathan's the anchor on defense. They had a freshman linebacker last year, Mason Monheim, they got from the state of Ohio, who was moderately recruited and turned out to be one of the leading tacklers in the Big Ten last year. So I think he's going to have another solid year, maybe a breakout year this year, and kind of get some national attention. But he was kind of on the freshman All-American team. But he's a good one. Brown, as you mentioned, is a big guy that they're counting on. They've got some talented, a couple of junior college guys that came in the defensive backfield that I think showed a lot of promise in the spring. I guess the biggest concern for a lot of Illinois fans, and for me and for people that cover the team, and I think for the coaching staff too, is up front. How deep will they be up front? They've lost some guys in the last couple of years to the NFL. The guys that are replacing them are guys that were their backups and have not really set themselves out there as guys that you're going to build around. So I think that's the depth up front. They moved Houston Bates to the defensive line. They've kind of adjusted the defensive alignment. They're trying to do some things to shore that up a little bit. But I think up front on the defensive line is probably the biggest concern of all. But the other areas, I think they've got some improvement. They've got some hopeful signs. And I think, too, it'll help Tim Beckman having all of his guys, the last couple of years that he's recruited, that he's building around. There's always that transition between one coach to another. And I think the guys he's bringing in will really work hard and play for him extremely hard.
It's always kind of hard to tell this going in. You get a much better idea after you get started. But what is kind of the culture, the mindset? I mean, are the football players angry and understand the rich tradition that Illinois football has and they want to get back there? Or have they kind of learned this new habit of not being successful?
Well, I think, as you follow Illinois football, we got a lot of great individual tradition, the Butkuses, the Red Granges, the Grabowskis, and the guys that just, Howard Griffith, who's on the Big Ten Network, and there's a lot of individual talent. Because the history of Illinois football, though, has been very inconsistent. It's been 1 year you'll be in the Sugar Bowl, the next year you have a losing record. In 08 we're playing in the Rose Bowl, the next year it's a losing record, and then they bottom out at, like we did last year, with a couple of wins, and so there's too much of that. I think the players obviously don't know that history, they're not that old, but I think they were just so, frustrated at the end of last year that nobody wants to go through what they went through last year, where they just were not in any ball games after the first couple of games of the year and had the worst offensive numbers and worst defensive numbers in the conference. And so I think those guys aren't so much concerned about the past or the up and down of the program in recent years, but, they're just trying to get back on track, to do what the coaches tell them to do, to work hard in the classroom, to do everything that Coach Beckman is asking them to do, and then trusting that hard work and improvement will, carry them in and get them competitive in games. And as I said at the beginning, that's where they've got to show, pass an eye test for Illinois fans this year, because right now Illinois fans are in a kind of sit back and, okay, well, show me you're better mode right now, and that's what they got to do.
What'd you think of the story of Ron Zook being a banker?
I saw that. Yeah, Ron, of course, is doing some work for, I think, CBS Sports. If you've ever seen that show, he does a roundtable. I'm assuming he's making some good money doing that.
Sure.
Kind of surprised. I think he's applied for some different jobs, either in the NFL or in college at smaller places. But, I'm surprised, I guess, he doesn't need the money. I don't think that's the reason he's working. He's probably just looking for something to do, and he can do some broadcasting on the side and make some money that way and do some water skiing and take it easy. So, because Illinois is still, I think, I don't know if it's still this year, or it was, I know through last year, still paying him quite a bit of money.
We're talking here for another couple minutes with Brian Barnhart, the voice of the Fighting Illini. And I know, being a man of the university, I just want to get your thoughts. When Tim Beckman came in, he got a lot of backlash, especially for the Penn State deal, trying to get some kids to come there. And how is the recruiting in this first, I guess, year and then a half, maybe since he's been there? Has there been some whiplash effect from all of that?
Oh, I'm sure there has. I mean, I think that, obviously, and he said this on some of the caravan stops. I mean, you can't sell two wins. I mean, that's hard to sell. But you can sell playing time. You can sell family atmosphere. You can sell the academic situation at the university. And you also have to be able to do all that, but also knowing that you have to win football games. I mean, you can talk about all of that, and I think he's happy with everything surrounding the program and the kids he's getting. Are they the players that Ohio State and Nebraska and, Michigan are getting? No. But are they players that he can build this program with? Yes. And, I think you take the kid I mentioned earlier, Monheim, from the state of Ohio that everybody kind of overlooked, and he's going to be a star in this league before it's done. So he needs more guys like that. I think they're happy with the players they're getting. I think they're just trying to build kind of get the culture going the other way, because since the middle of that you know, season a couple of years ago after starting 6-0, there's been no wins. I mean, it's been hard to win a football game, and you gotta, as you know, when you start running a marathon or whatever a race, you gotta take that first couple of steps and get headed that direction before it actually happens.
Oh, God, no, I'm never running a marathon. I can't get around the block, Brian. Come on, man.
I haven't either, but maybe just even a 5K, something like that. You got to get a start somewhere. But, you know, I think they've got a chance to get off to a good start. They've got four home games. One's at Soldier Field, and will not be easy against Washington. And then you've got the away games are at Indiana, which is still improving. You've got at Purdue, which is rebuilding with a new coach. And, you know, there's some games in there last year they should have won in the games where they were evenly matched, and they didn't. And they wound up, you know, with just a really bad record. So they can go nowhere but up after what happened last year.
And I might be reaching deep into the bag of coaches' cliches and try to pull out a silver lining here, but special teams for Illinois should be pretty good. A punter is on a watch list. A place kicker is on a watch list. That aspect of game for Illinois seems to be pretty solid.
Yeah, it does, and it's improved. And you mentioned Justin Duvernoy. He's come a long way since that freshman year. He really struggled early in his career, and he's really come a long way since then. And they've got a really good special teams coach. Tim Salem was at Central Florida for several years, and he's been around different places and been pretty successful wherever he's been. A big thing during the several years there we went through where the special teams were, at best, neutral. They didn't help you, and more often than not, they hurt you. And that wasn't so much the case last year, and they made improvement there, and then you mentioned the individual specialists. Those guys are thought of pretty highly, too. So, you know, we'll tee it up, as they say, and see what happens.
First game is August 31st against Southern Illinois, but as we go through these 12 teams in 12 days, Illinois has one of the Holy Hell Hall of Fame schedules here, Cincinnati, Washington, and then to start the conference, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Penn State are the first four games. Brian, I know it's the middle of July. What would you consider a successful season for the Fighting Illini in 2013?
Well, you're right about the schedule. I think we actually opened with Nebraska to start Big Ten play five straight years, I think. And three of those five are in Lincoln. So, you know, their schedule makers were not favorable to us in that regard. But, no, I think successful, they got to look better. I think if you can win four or five games, this year, and then, you know, you have Wes Lunt coming in next year, and you hopefully can build a recruiting base around him and receivers and get the skill guys in, and another year under Bill Cubitt with his offense. It's definitely a rebuilding process, but somewhere where you can be in games, which they were not in last year at all, the second half of the year especially, and then win, four games, five, I think, would be an outstanding season. So I think that's a reasonable goal to shoot at, and if you get anything else, it's gravy.
All right, Brian, we'll let you get back to your day. See you in Chicago next week. We sure appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Okay, hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. Fighting Illini, the Huskers get a crack at Illinois for the first time in a number of years on August the 5th when Illinois comes to Nebraska for that 11 a.m. homecoming game for the Big Red. Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini there. 2-17 in Big Ten openers.
They're going to have to do better than being negative 13, I think it is, in terms of turnovers. You give up an extra turnover every single game, you end up going 2-10.
Last time they were in Lincoln, 1985, I was at that game.
I was, too.
But you look, he says five games, Brian does. Boy, I'm trying to find three. I think they can get three. You got to beat Southern Illinois, even though they a non-FCF school. We're 6-5 last year. They've got Miami of Ohio. That game is at home. Their non-conference games, three are at home, and then they play Washington at Soldier Field in Chicago. Southern Illinois win. Cincinnati, probably a loss. Washington, probably a loss. Miami of Ohio, a win. Let's give them 2-2. And then they've got to survive those first four. Physically, they've got to survive those first four. They've also got Ohio State and Northwestern and people and at Indiana, Purdue. I'm thinking they can get one conference win this year.
Yeah, but it's at Purdue. I mean, that doesn't help them there at all. That's why I think they'd be happy if they've got five, because I see four maybe. I don't see five in there.
Unbelievably tough schedule for the folks at Illinois. We'll take a break, be back, and talk a little American Legion baseball. Russ Kindig of Hastings will join us after this.
Now's the time to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 15 up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, golf, basketball, bowling, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 8th through the 11th in Kearney. Sign up by going to NebraskaSeniorGames.com for registration forms. The 2013 Nebraska Senior Games, where the competition never gets old. Get in the game at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
Travis Pastrana has leaped from an airplane without a parachute. He once jumped his rally car 269 feet onto a barge. But his latest feat, Travis races his 650 horsepower Roush Fenway stock car using a racing formulation of Valvoline motor oil with next-gen technology. Made with 50% recycled oil, Valvoline Next Gen is specially designed for today's hotter running engines. Valvoline with next-gen technology, 100% satisfaction guaranteed.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is always thinking of ways to make it easier to book a clean, comfortable room for a great low rate. And this is the first test of our reservation by telepathy system, commencing now. Now. Wait a minute. Now. Well, you can still call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6, book online at motel6.com, or with our cool new app on your tablet or smartphone. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Beginning Thursday, Dial Global Sports will deliver all the exciting action of the British Open. Hey, how are you, folks? I'm Jason Horowitz. Join us as we'll bring you up-to-the-minute reports of the 142nd British Open from legendary Muirfield in Scotland. Can Tiger Woods claim his first major title since 2008? Or will Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, or U.S. Open winner Justin Rose raise the claret jug? If it's the British Open, it's right here.
Coverage Thursday through Sunday on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunny to partly cloudy conditions continue throughout the day today as we head up to around 90 for a high. South winds will also turn breezy at 12 to 25. For tonight, with clear skies, south winds continue at 5 to 15 as we head back to 66.
Right now it's 79.
Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A lot going on in Hastings the rest of the week with Adams County Fair Fest. They always have some pretty good in a variety of concerts, and tonight the Oak Ridge Boys will be there.
Yeah. I'm ready.
That's what everybody tried to do back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the thing.
See how low you could get that voice.
Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah, that was a thing.
I think we won't try that here. On the air, though, let's go over to Hastings, where American Legion Baseball is getting ready for all of our Class A teams. And then, of course, the BNC Seniors. We'll get to the BNC Juniors here in a little bit. But Russ Kinding is the coach of Hastings Johnson Imperial Homes, and they will be playing here in Kearney starting this weekend against the Post 52 Juniors, who they know real well, but were the Cornhusker League West Division champs. And Russ joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Russ, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks, guys.
Well, it's that time of year. The team ready to go? Are you pleased with where you're at?
Yeah, I think so. We've been playing pretty good. Went 1-2 last week and played good baseball up in Omaha. So hopefully we're ready to go.
What's been going for you better, Russ? So your offense, your defense?
Offense has been pretty steady all year. Defense is, part of the season is finding where guys need to go, and we've gotten to that point, so we've been pretty happy with where our defense is at, and, it's just been a pretty good team all around at all facets of the game right now.
Well, let's familiarize the folks that haven't made it out to Duncan or are interested where your team is going into the area tournament. Who are your offensive leaders? We'll talk about pitching in a little bit, but who's been leading the way for you on this younger group?
We had two guys return from last year, Zach Merrill and Brock Dreher, and they have led us all year. They've sat in the kind of 3-4 holes for us. Brock's hitting about 420, I think, and Zach going into this week, and I know is hitting 440. So They've led us all year. They've been great.
How about on the bump? Who do you really want to hand that ball to with a big game on the line? You got a couple of guys that you're pretty comfortable with?
Yeah, really comfortable. Again, Zach Merrill is a returner. He's got 6 wins for us on the mound, thrown about 45 innings and only given up 18 earned runs. Struck out 68 and walked 14, so we're pretty comfortable giving him the ball anytime. Then our number two probably this year would be Jared Foote. He's got 5 wins on the season for us. And, you know, hopefully we only have to use 3 guys this weekend in area, and Brooks Asher would be our number 3 guy.
Yeah, he's played a little baseball in his time.
I've seen him in action, yeah.
We're talking with Russ Kindig. He is the manager of the American Legion Hastings Junction Imperial team. You get Kearney in the first game of this 5-team area tournament with Scottsbluff, Lexington, and North Platte all being there. Coming up on Friday night, that primetime game at 8 o'clock. You're familiar with Kearney. Have you decided to go with Zach, or are you kind of got somebody that's done a little bit better with Kearney? What's your strategy going into Friday's game?
We're going to go with Zach. He's been our number one all year. He's only faced Kearney once this year. We played him 3 times. The first time we were going to throw him, and he was sick and ended up winning without him, so that was all right with us. But he's thrown 1 time against him, and we're going to go with him right away, try and go 1-0 and get that bye on Saturday, and I have to go till Sunday.
Russ, talk about it, like, because we've chatted about it. There's no secret that Kearney, both the juniors and the seniors, have usually come out of these area tournaments as the champs. Not necessarily every year, but the majority of the time. But this year, you guys win the West League. What's the confidence level? I assume you guys have to be much more confident this year facing Kearney than maybe in the past.
Yeah, you know, we're a confident team. That's probably been the reason that we've played so well this year. There's a lot of confidence on the team, which is contagious. You know, last year we were 2-0 going to the area championship. Kearney found a way to get out of there and win 2 on Tuesday. We've had them on the ropes, but Hastings, at least when I've been here, we haven't been able to knock them out. But, you know, going to Kearney, really tough place to play. You know, they got that advantage with the home field and the turf that we don't get to see a whole lot. But, yeah, you know, every year going in right now, at least, it's been Kearney, the team to beat. My first 3 years, they were the junior state champions. So, you know, they've had great teams going through these last 10 years probably.
How important is that first win in terms of taking a look at the bracket and the fact that you would be knocking Kearney, you know, 1 game away from elimination in a double elimination tournament? How important is that first game?
It's huge, you know. Not only do you get that first win on Friday and not have to throw till Sunday, but, you know, come around, win that game on Sunday, you don't play till Tuesday again. So you're looking at your 3 starter, where whoever loses that first game, if they're going to go all the way from Friday, you're going to throw Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. If you were to win that first game on Tuesday, have to throw another guy on Tuesday. So that first win's huge.
We're talking for just another minute here with Russ Kindig. He is the manager of Hastings Johnson Imperial Homes. They'll play Kearney in the first round. Lexington plays North Platte in the first round, and Scottsbluff Gehring gets that first round bye. Scottsbluff Gehring has come in as the number one seed, whether it's juniors or seniors, before. The competition level isn't the same, and surprisingly, Lexington is not a Class B school anymore. They bumped into this Class A, so instead of a 4-team bracket, you got 5, but yet North Platte's hosting state, so 2 teams get in, right, Russ? What's the overall philosophy here with having 5 teams? Is that change any philosophy from past years?
It's a little bit different. You know, normally if we were the 2, that usually means, you know, if Hastings or Kearney's the 2 seed, you're not going to face each other in the first round, where right now, unless you're the 4 or the 5 seed, Hastings and Kearney aren't going to see each other. So that 5 seed makes it a little bit different. You know, this time of year, everybody's playing pretty good baseball, so you just got to win that first one, and I don't think, at least we aren't going to change anything with it being a 5-game series compared to a 4-game.
Well, you guys are the 2 seed, and Scottsbluff Gehring is the 1 seed. You probably don't see them as much. What do you know about them?
We haven't seen them at all. We know they're 27-7 right now, which, you know, the competition, I know they've played North Platte, I think, is the only Class A team that they've played this year, at least in Nebraska. They've gone into Wyoming, played a little bit of baseball in Colorado, too, so I don't know what class or whatever they are. But we don't know a whole lot. We know they've been winning a lot of games, and sometimes that, you know, just having that 27 games under your belt is enough to play good baseball. So we'll see. But, you know, we've seen Lexington twice. We've seen North Platte twice, but haven't seen Scotts Bluff.
Well, the state tournament waiting in North Platte. Hastings hopes to get there. Their first game is at Kearney against Kearney Post 52 Friday night at 8 o'clock in the A7 Junior Area Tournament. Russ, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Best of luck to your ball club this week.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care, Russ Kending from Hastings Johnson Imperial Home joining us here on the program. As we said, ABC seniors and then the A juniors get going this week. The B and C juniors have been rolling along. The B4 last night, Pleasantdale eliminated Central City, so they'll play Seward for the championship tonight in York. Elkhorn Mount Michael is hosting the Class B junior state tournament, and Cozad is there after winning two games last night against Broken Bow, 16-6 and 10-2. And for Cozad, they will play the 2 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon. 2 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon in the Class B state tournament, and they will be taking on the Area 2 winner, which will be either Gretna or Waverly, and they have to play that game tonight. And amazingly, Gretna, who's been there almost every year, was like that's the 4 and 5 seed in their area tournament. The Class C state tournament is at Wakefield, and Wakefield's not the juggernaut that they have been. They're going to go in as the host this year. They won't be winning their area tournament, and that's who Palmer Wallback Greeley Spalding will play at 7 o'clock. They have a lot of history between those two. They have played in a lot of state championship games, and they will play the 7 o'clock game in Wakefield on Saturday. Palmer Wallback Greeley beat Dannebrog Carroll Bowl. It's always the best. PWGS against DCB was 10-0 last night. Davenport Edgar Schickley did beat Geneva in the first championship game last night, but they needed to win twice, and Geneva got the nightcap, and they won that by a score of 4-2. So Geneva will play Saturday, and that game is set for 1:30 in the afternoon up at Wakefield, and they will play the Area 2 champion, which is Tecama Herman. So Tecama Herman will be their opponent. And finally, Shelton Gibbon, a 7-3 winner last night over Hershey Sutherland. They're headed back to state, and they will play Saturday afternoon in Wakefield against Wymore, and that gets underway at 4:30. So the best of luck to all of those teams. So there you go. Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth as we're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Don't forget, they're giving away a pair of season tickets to the Huskers. How great would that be to win that? All you have to do is go to thinkmidway.com and like them on Facebook. Sign up.
Not a game. You're not going to a game. You're going to all the games. That would be a lot of fun.
Party time, folks, and they always have great deals during the not just during football season, but all year long. And during July, they have over 100 more new vehicles on the lot that qualify for additional discounts from the manufacturer because it's hassle-free price all the time. During the summer, they've thrown in a $500 gas card, and now the national rebate comes in to help you save even more money. You can check their inventory out online or in person at Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Anything that we missed today?
No, I think we got everything covered. I ranted about the All-Star game, and I think I got everything covered, yeah.
Everything that you wanted
to cover. We kind of backed up Johnny Football a little bit.
We've talked a lot of golf, by the way. They are playing at Torrey Pines. We mentioned Jordan Reinertsen won the U.S. Amateur spot with the qualifier this week. His brother Riley, he wasn't playing in that silly little tournament. Why would you play in that silly little tournament? He's at Torrey Pines playing in the Callaway Junior World Golf Championship and shot a 3-under par 69 in the first round. That is in a 5-way tie for fourth, one shot off the lead. And, I mean, you got kids.
That's a round at Torrey Pines, man.
California, Costa Rica, Mexico, South Africa, Florida, Chile. Those are all the guys that are in the top 10 right now. And Gibbon, Nebraska.
And Gibbon, Nebraska. That is, wow. That is very, very impressive. Congratulations.
So that's a 3-round tournament. He's still got some work to do, but he's there. He's got a chance. That's the one thing, all the years covering it, we've had some very good golfers, like Danielle Lemick, who's playing in the semifinals over the match play in Gothenburg with the ladies today. But when they go to the national level, there just hasn't been a lot of success.
Well, there's only one. I mean, it's just so difficult. I mean, take a look at that leaderboard. You know, Chile and California, and just there's millions and millions of other people. Somebody's going to win a state championship for something or another, and you're competing against thousands. Here, literally, people that are eligible for this tournament are ranging in the hundreds of thousands and in the millions. Yeah, it gets that just that much harder to do. So to be fourth right now, that's incredible.
Well, we will keep you up to date on what's going on with all the golfers from the area and always appreciate hearing from you, whether it's via the Dent Popper inbox, the Bruce Furniture fan line, or our Facebook page or tweets. We love hearing from you. Jeffrey, you didn't get lost last night, did you? I'm a little concerned that you're going to take up this paddleboarding and get lost again.
No, but I did have to go to a friend's house on my own, so I was concerned.
GPS, baby, and that's not one of our Legion teams. GPS.
Our boy that got lost at sea with his paddle boat because he couldn't get turned around. But he did, eventually, and he is back with us from the honeymoon.
Follow the seagulls, baby.
Tomorrow, Paul Keels, voice of Ohio State, and we're going to talk Iowa football. Yeah, because we kind of figured that talking Iowa football really isn't doing a football team in 12 teams in 12 days. And I didn't even say that. But we're going to talk doubleheader tomorrow with those folks. We do want to thank Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini, Russ Kindig, Hastings Johnson Imperial coach, and Randy Bushcutter. Thanks for being in today. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too, Doug. Thanks.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.